Welcome to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast, where we ask 10 questions of leading attorneys in the United States about what drives their firm forward. Today, your host is Ryan McKean.
Hello, everybody. It's Ryan McKean. I'm here with Taylor Darcy, San Diego business law attorney. How are you doing today, Taylor?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Taylor, I'm so excited to have you on. I understand you just had a child. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. She's 4 weeks old today, so we're having fun with the sleepless nights and balancing our lives and doing, as my sister-in-law likes to say, moving our kaleidoscope, and it changes every time you have a kid.
It does, and this is your, what child is this for you?
This is number four.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've got three girls and one boy. Two girls, then a boy, then this last one is a little girl. So, yeah.
Congratulations. How do you balance, growing a law practice with four young children?
It's challenging, but it's possible. There's a lot of my wife and I, we share a calendar so that I can put things on there that so she can only see that I've scheduled something. She can't see necessarily what I'm scheduling. And then I try to make time around appointments for her, and so I work from home, and then I also have in my office that I go and work from, and I also, meet clients there. So it's challenging. There's a lot of communication that we have to do, but it works. And, we just take one day at a time and hope nobody dies. So
that's always a good hope.
How
do you balance, with four kids, a growing practice? I'm a dad as well. How do you balance making time for yourself?
I try to do a little bit of personal time, after hours with my wife. We'll watch some shows and we'd send the kids to bed and take care of them that way, so that we get a little us time. And occasionally we'll get a babysitter, but not very often. And it's challenging because they demand quite a bit of our time. And I love being a dad. It's my favorite job in the world. I wouldn't call it a job. In fact, I tell my wife, I said, if I could find a way to make money out of being a dad, I would love that, because that's my favorite thing. Until that happens, then I guess the law will have to.
Well, I know I wrote about balance in Tiger Tactics, and it's really has been the hardest thing that I've had to go through is just, you're, at least for me, it's like, I'm now 39 years old, and it's like life at like in my mid 30s was so hard, trying to balance being a dad, a husband, and, with young children, especially, who are so needy. My kids are a little bit older now, they're 6 and 9, and that helps. Thank you for sharing, your story about balance. Can you tell us a little bit about how you launched your firm? What was the impetus for doing so?
Yeah. So I came out of law school, and so I've worked for lots of different companies in the past, and I really wanted to give it a go on my own. And the reason for it was that, when you work for somebody else, the ownership factor isn't there. It's somebody else's responsibility to take care of the big problems, right? You're there to make them money, essentially. You wouldn't have a job if you cost them money. So I really wanted to take the bull by the proverbial horns and, not only work for myself, because I felt like I could deliver a quality service to people in a more meaningful way that way. I didn't have to worry about, answering to my bosses. I could answer directly to the client. And that has its pluses and minuses, right? Because as you answer things to the client, you have to be able to deliver bad news in a way that doesn't make your client hate you. Sometimes, most of the time you like to deliver happy news and positive news, but So I made that choice because I really wanted to be hands-on with my clients, not abstract, not oh, he's an attorney, he doesn't care, or he's just in it for the money. I really wanted to be someone that people could refer to as a good advisor, and to be able to help them through difficult times.
And I noticed, in preparing for this, you have your master's in business. Yes. Can you tell us how, you know, if anything that you've learned, you know, from that background has influenced your starting a law firm? Can you tell us about when you started and anything regarding that I find it really interesting that you come from a business background, you're a lawyer running a business, advising businesses.
Yeah. So the MBA came because I knew that, and I'd studied quite a bit before I went to law school about lawyers. And one of the things that most of them struggle with is business. And I found that, you know, having an MBA to kind of take a look at the overall big picture, right? I mean, we're trained on how to do the law. We're not trained necessarily on how to run a business. They don't teach business 101 in law school. And so I really wanted to be successful in my law firm. I didn't want to just hope it to chance, right? I didn't want to just throw good work out there and hope that things happen. So I really wanted to have a strategy. And my MBA really gave me the vision to have a strategy and have more business acumen to be able to run it like a business, but have that law experience that goes with it. And so it really came down to how can I be the best attorney possible? How can I help my clients as much as possible? And having, you know, something, and this is, you know, something as simple as doing a discount rate to show, like I had a client a while ago that, you know, he didn't want to accept a settlement because he felt it was low. Well, I was able to do the math and show him that this is the amount of money that he would get, you know, in tomorrow's dollars today. And so having that background and be able to say, look, this is a good settlement because that's getting money today instead of a year from now, was absolutely crucial in helping the client feel good about what the settlement was, as opposed to bad because he was getting less than what he was hoping for. And so that's been invaluable in helping and these clients with their needs as well.
And is there any sort of specific technique that you've implemented that you learned in business school in your law firm that you think, you know, maybe other lawyers could benefit from knowing, or a particular area of study? I know a lot of lawyers, you know, they struggle, you know, with finance, they struggle with vision, you know, structure, any of those things.
I think probably the biggest, has been like my strategic classes, or they were. And I tell my clients and I tell other lawyers, you know, one of the biggest benefits you have as a solo or a smaller firm is your ability to pivot. You know, if something's not working, don't keep doing it until you know that it, until you've run out of money, right? If something is there's a balance between giving something a legitimate shot at working and cutting it off too soon. And so what I generally tell my clients and my, you know, friends that are attorneys as well is, you know, have a strategy that you have a strategy first and foremost, because so many people are just hoping for, you know, practicing door law. You know, they don't have a strategy. They're just hoping for whatever comes in the door. And by being able to pivot, though, you can take a look and say, you know what, this isn't working. Let's fix it. Let's make a difference. So that, you know, if you do free consultations, if you find that they're just a waste of time and they're not really netting you anything, then stop doing free consultations. If you are, so on and so forth. And so some of these strategy has been invaluable in practicing and being able to help others with that, see that, you know, there's more to it than just the simple, I get a client and I do the work and then I get paid, right? There's a lot more like budgeting, forecasting. And those are all factors that, truth be told, an MBA doesn't, I mean, it completely helps you with that portion of it. But one thing that MBA does not help you with is like the beginning portions, like the clientele build. I mean, it has a marketing course, and so you have a little bit better idea of what marketing is than the average person and perhaps average attorney, But one of the things that it's more for like an established firm to look at in that respect.
Sure. And I mean, I guess for me, just have a quick word from our sponsor that relates to this. You know, for me, really learning the business has come from, you know, lawyer collaborative groups, and certainly none more than Maximum Lawyer. And we had the Tiger Tactics authors had a big presence at Maximum Lawyer 2019. Sorry, I couldn't see you there, Taylor. I know you were busy becoming a new dad or a dad for the fourth time, but new
right.
child, right? New. And but it was an amazing conference where fantastic ideas were shared. It was great energy, great network opportunity. And Jim and Tyson have said it's even going to be bigger and better in 2020. And so we are looking forward to being out there in 2020. So Taylor, you mentioned a little bit about developing clients. What you work, you do business law, you advise businesses. How do you go about generating clients in a practice like that?
Well, you know, it's always a challenge, right? I mean, I can't think of any attorney that says, oh, I've got clients walking in the door. And I don't have to do any business development. I mean, not if you want to stay long term. And so I think the key is finding a niche, number one. That's one thing that I have to say. But then also doing marketing that works for today. You know, there's so much old school stuff that I'm not saying it doesn't have value, but who advertises in the yellow pages these days? And I'm not saying you shouldn't necessarily, but
yeah. To sort of jump in here just a little bit, because we're going to run a little short on time.
Sure.
Now sort of yellow pages, but that's, you know, personal injury and whatnot. But I mean, is traditional marketing, I know for like business people, I would think would be like a chamber of commerce or what's that networking group?
BNI.
Do those groups, do you receive benefits from groups like that? Do you do anything or?
I've looked at, there's a team network group that I've looked at, and I think there is some benefit, but I think overall you need to have a more, strategy. You know, that should be a part of your marketing, not like the sole part of it, because, you know, there's, especially when you're talking like high ticket items, and I would say that most attorneys would consider themselves high ticket. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And so I think it needs to be a combination of efforts, because people are going to hear about you from different ways and different times. And so you want to have lots of different, oars in the proverbial lake, so to speak, so that you can keep moving forward. You know, if you're just talking about one, you're just going to go in circles. And so you really need to focus on, you know, strategic, right? Not just whatever looks good at the time. I'll tell you the funny part is I don't know if anybody's going to laugh at this one, but my absolute best ROI for advertising has been Craigslist. Put a decent ad on Craigslist, and you know, it's super cheap. I've made $15,000 to $17,000 off of one Facebook ad. And so, you know, now I'm going to have lots of people on there with me, but, because there actually aren't a lot of people on there. And some of the people that are kind of like cheesy and, or, you know, 40-year-old practices, and they're just kind of doing it. But if you put a decent ad on there, it's something to be had. And, so, you know, my best advice for marketing is go where all the other attorneys aren't, you know, be somewhere like, you know, Facebook is a good place, Instagram, because there's not a ton of attorneys advertising, as opposed to yellow pages and some of the traditional billboard type thing. I'm not saying don't do those, but where you put your money is pretty important. And that's one of the things I learned from Tiger Tactics was, you know, everybody has a strategy that works different, and they all work as long as you apply it consistently.
Sure. No, consistency is the key, right? You go to the gym once and nothing happens. You go, you know, 150 times in a year and you're in better shape, right?
Exactly.
Sort of like got about a minute left here. And, you know, the last chapter in the book is best advice. And, you know, what has been the best advice that you've been given, you know, with anything related to like the business of law?
I would say riches are in the niches, so to speak. I think that's a very, you know, people use it a lot, but I think it really does sum up how, you know, if you're too general, then number one, you're going to be, you know, searching for too many people. And number two, you really want to be a subject matter expert, and you can't do that if you're too general. And so being in the niche, being in the right niche for yourself is key to having, you know, a practice of your dreams, because it's something you can talk about all the time. Right. If you love talking about it and you're able to, then people are going to feel that, and they're going to be drawn to you because they know that you're not just doing it for the money. You're doing it because you genuinely want to help them, and you'll be a better attorney because of it.
Well, Taylor, thank you so much for being on. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and, you know, congrats on all you got going on. And I often, my wife and I have a part of the year, usually mid-February, where we start looking at real estate in San Diego, because we're awfully, awfully envious of your weather here in Connecticut. So enjoy all that, Taylor. Congratulations, and thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Tiger Bites, the Tiger Tactics podcast. If you have read Tiger Tactics and want to be a guest, please visit Amazon.com to leave a review, or go to tigertacticsbook.com to join our mailing list.